righty. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN on this Wednesday, the 27th of December, 2023. And I am kind of reeling here because we've talked about anniversaries a lot with the anniversary of the blizzard of 22. And I can't believe that it was on this date in 1983, we lost five Buffalo firefighters to that propane tank explosion inside the warehouse. And it was absolutely hellish. 93, 03, 13, 20, 40 years ago. I have a hard time wrapping my hands around that because, first of all, there are still people suffering because of that. Kids who had to grow up without fathers, wives who had to grow up or come of age, if you will, without husbands. And, you know, that night, it was so surreal because that night I had a local attorney on talking about bankruptcy. And I didn't realize how serious it was until one of our reporters, Sandy Kozel, called in from the scene. And I realized very quickly, but not quickly enough, frankly, that I really needed to be all news that night, however tragic the news was. And I can't believe that was December 27th of 1983, and it's December 27th of 2023, and here I sit, and those brave firefighters, and I think a couple of civilians also died in the propane tank explosion. It's just amazing how time goes by. Just last week, we were talking about how, well, it wasn't last week, the week before, talking about how quickly time goes by. But then that was just 1 year since the blizzard. I did my pre-blizzard anniversary show before vacation. But 40 years since that night, and I'm shaking my head because those 40 years seem like they might have just as well been 2 or 3 weeks ago. And again, I'm just an idiot on the radio. I can't imagine what this anniversary day is like for those whose families were ripped asunder by the horrific propane tank explosion that we experienced. And, you know, that's one of those things that I remember to this very day. I mean, I know exactly where I was. I know the attorney we had in studio, the reporters we had calling in from the field. And this was, by the way, this was the time before cell phones. So the one thing I don't remember is how Sandy Kozel was able to get her reports on the air. I think we might have had two-way radios, those old Motorola two-way radios at the time. But I am, I'm kind of stunned to realize it's the anniversary of the propane tank explosion. And obviously, deep sympathies to anybody who was personally affected by loss in that particularly awful explosion. And then for about the next week afterward, every time you turn on a local TV station, and back then we didn't have the internet, we didn't have YouTube or Amazon or Netflix or anything like that. Back then, there was basically Channel 2, Channel 4, Channel 7, 17, 29, 23 might have been around, and then some Canadian TV stations that you drag in to watch Hockey Night in Canada. I mean, that's how time has gone by, and things have progressed, some would say regressed, but wow. If you were alive 40 years ago today, you remember that night and the aftermath as if it had just happened, which is a rather stunning realization. All right, it is 5:14, and again, I can't believe just how quickly that has gone by. Just basically starting out in this business, didn't really know what I was doing because nobody ever taught me how to do it. Obviously, nobody ever taught me how to do it. And just, wow. But it's not about me. It's not about that. It's about the firefighters who died, the civilians who died, and it's about the wreckage and carnage of a neighborhood. And to think that it was 40 years ago, I must admit, it's rather mind-blowing. It truly is. And I guess the thing that I'm thinking about is, if you had asked me what time of year that took place, I would have told you that it would have been somewhere in September, October. And I had forgotten that it actually was 40 years ago today, December 27th. So that's something. And I obviously I'm affected by it. You can't not be affected by it if you were alive and living in Western New York at that time. It was a very traumatic event. And I don't know. I forget whether Tim Wenger was part of that. I think he, I don't know that he was back then, because I'm a little bit older than Tim. He's just a lot smarter than I am. But anyway, my deepest sympathies and condolences to those of you whose lives were forever altered that night 40 years ago, including the surviving Buffalo firefighters, because that left a very deep mark. And another situation which, I mean, there are a lot of situations left deep marks on the men and women of the Buffalo Fire Department, and one of them happened in the relatively recent past, and that was the fire at the pool supply warehouse on Niagara Street. And even though we didn't lose any firefighters immediately as a result of that, I have heard stories over the years of people whose careers were ended and whose lives came to an end as a result of breathing in what they had to breathe in. All of that stuff, all those pool chemicals that were on fire. And remember, people driving along the Niagara section of the thruway told, keep your windows rolled up and get through there as fast as you possibly can. So, wow. It's so amazing to me how time flies. For some of you who are older than I, you have the same memories and recollections and thoughts about, well, the assassination of President Kennedy, which has come up a few times today. I was a baby when that happened, so I don't have any memories of that, but I sure do have memories of the propane tank explosion in 1983. And just, I'm trying to, you know, it's funny what time does to you. And how your perception of time changes, because it was only 6 years after the blizzard of 77. And yet, at that point in life, it might as well have been 60 years after the blizzard of 77. And to a lot of you who are younger, you have no idea of what I am speaking. But if you can imagine a situation where the Buffalo Fire Department loses almost half a dozen firefighters in an instant with a propane tank explosion, I think you can begin to appreciate what it was like. And I remember, and I hadn't planned on going down this road for this long, but one of the things I remember, I was driving when the explosion itself took place. I was driving into work. But we had calls from people at the old radio station. We had calls from people 20, 30 miles away who felt the earth shake, who heard the noise, and who were wondering what was going on. It's like what happens when we get one of our occasional earthquakes here in Western New York. It was a tragic day for the city of Buffalo. It was... think along the lines of the scumbag mass murderer at Tops. It had that kind of a psychological impact on the people of Western New York, except that was an accident and, you know, some bad management as opposed to a situation of, I don't mean bad management by anybody in particular. Just it was one of those things, as opposed to being a deliberate act of terror that we remember all too vividly from the shooting at the supermarket, the mass murder at the supermarket. So, and it's just, I don't know. It's amazing how quickly time goes by. All right, we will get into what I'm going to end the show with today. All right, so the topic, and there are so many, I've got so many topics in the barrel for this week, because I'm going to let you in on a little secret. Okay, now don't tell anybody this. I might get in trouble for saying this, but as a radio talk show host, typically the period between Christmas and New Year's is, it's death. It's death on talk radio. It's like you sit there talking to yourself for 4 hours, wondering, where did everybody go? And then you realize they're hanging out with friends and family and everything. All those stupid things, instead of listening to the show. So it is, you go through periods like that in this line of work. And that's when you have to be able to vamp, and hopefully vamp very well, and somehow try to stay interesting and relevant at the same time, which I often have a hard time doing even on the best of days. But I want to bring back a topic that we did, I think, over the summertime, but I've told you guys this a million times before, and you probably get sick of me saying this too. I don't remember when I did certain shows. I just don't remember. I look forward typically. I typically do not look backward unless it is something very momentous, like the blizzard of either 77 or the blizzard of 22 or the propane explosion 40 years ago this evening. Those shows stand out. And I'm happy to report that we have actually found And I got to thank Tanner Saunders for digging this out. I don't know how Tanner did it, but he has actually found the interview I did with Donald Trump when he was running for the presidency of the United States. The interview was wiped off of the internet. You cannot find it on the internet. But Tanner has actually found what is, to my knowledge, the only extant video of the interview with Donald Trump. Maybe we should replay it at some point. It would be interesting. You know what? I've kind of forgotten. I mean, I know the interview happened, and I know some of the questions that I asked, but it was lost. It was lost audio. And Tanner found a copy. But what I really want to know, you're talking about conspiracy theories here, as we have been today, but I want to know why an interview with, when everything else is on the internet, okay, everything else is out there. It's easily accessible. You can watch the Beatles rooftop concert. You can watch obscure videos of Gilbert O'Sullivan from the 1970s doing Claire and Out of the Question. Those were names of songs, by the way, for those who don't know. You can find obscure videos of Syd Barrett and Pink Floyd with, was it Dick Clark, out in California. But for some reason, the interview I did with Donald Trump, nowhere to be found on the internet. But Tanner has actually tracked it down in our computer system. Tanner, I owe you something. I'm not quite sure what it is I owe you, but I'll try to make it good, man. I'll try to make your hard work count for something. But coming up after the news at 5:30, a question that I think deserves more time, but I can't be fussy, not this week, but what is your belief in God? What is your belief in God? Now, I'm going to make a little deal with you here, okay? I am more than happy to hear what your belief happens to be, or what your lack of belief happens to be. I'm curious where you are on the whole God question. The only thing I ask is that you are as respectful of my lack of your belief as I will be of your belief. Is that a fair enough deal? Because I'm going to guess that our beliefs are nowhere near each other. And that's fine, because they don't have to be. I want to know where you are on God. Do you adhere to a specific religion, a specific faith? Are you more of a deist, which is, I guess, probably the most appropriate thing to call myself, although there are areas of Christianity which do fascinate me, such as biblical archaeology, the Shroud of Turin. I mean, if there's a documentary on the Shroud of Turin, I've watched it. Okay, I've seen every documentary on the Shroud of Turin because I find that to be fascinating. I find it to be fascinating because it is potential physical evidence of a resurrection. So I find that by nature very, very interesting, even if I don't believe a lot of the stories of the Old Testament, which I don't. But my beliefs really don't matter. Your beliefs are what we're going to talk about coming up after the news at 5:30 on WBEN. So, look, I'm not going to be a jerk to you about what you believe. I just ask the same in exchange, because none of us really knows what happens when we die. I don't have a clue what happens to us when we die. Although, according to some listeners, I can expect a lake of fire and eternal agony, which, of course, would be the sign of a loving God. It is 27 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. I told you, and I don't mean to offend anybody here, but most of my beliefs in religion are very similar to George Carlin's monologue on religion, except the part where he says Joe Pesci. He worships Joe Pesci, because I'm more of an Al Pacino worshiper than a Joe Pesci worshiper. Tanner apparently does listen to the show. Okay, the thing about the Gilbert O'Sullivan videos is they did not age very well. You've got a redheaded Gilbert O'Sullivan at a piano wearing a sweatshirt or a sweater with a giant G sewn onto it. Obviously, management of Gilbert O'Sullivan said, hey, we need a brand. Of course, they didn't call it a brand back then. But anyway, 803-0930. So my question to you, and I did this show once, I think once in my life. God, do you believe in God? And of what faith are you? And are you somebody who goes to church or temple or mosque or whatever it happens to be, ashram? I don't know. We got people from everywhere in Western New York. But you know, what is your belief when it comes to God? Like I said, I did this once before. I told you guys I was going to bring it back. I might bring it back for a longer period of time next week, but maybe later on this week. Let me give you the phone numbers to call, so you have to listen to me less and yourself more. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. What is your belief when it comes to God? I will sum up mine very succinctly. I do believe there is a God. I have no idea what religion he is, I have absolutely no idea. I do believe there's a creator, and that's about as much as I'm willing. That's as far as I'm willing to go on the whole God thing. Now, your views might be different, and that's fine, because it's not a debate, because how in the world can you have a debate on something that nobody knows 100% for sure? Because I don't think you can prove, personally, I just don't think you can prove it one way or the other. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. When I say prove it, I mean, prove your particular brand of God or brand of faith or brand of religion. I mean, I think that objectively, but again, what do I know? I'm just a dumb human. I do believe as you look at the world and the universe, I have a real hard time believing that it just spontaneously happened in a big bang and is just forever expanding. That doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. Seems like there's got to be some kind of creator, some kind of supreme being behind it. But again, I could very well be wrong. It might just be a scientific accident for all I know, because I don't know. But I know what I don't believe. It's a little bit easier to define than what I do believe. And I know the things that I think, well, that's really super, super interesting. But how do I actually go about proving it? 803, because I whether it's publicly or privately, I am not a real faith based person. I'm more of an evidence-based person as opposed to a belief-based person. Like, show me the evidence and I'll listen. But there are things that, well, doesn't matter. What is your personal belief in God? 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Did you guys really think I was going to forget to bring this topic back? Oh, you don't know me. Here is Diane in West Seneca. And by the way, if you don't believe in God, that's cool too. It's like whatever you believe. I'd like to know where you guys are. Diane on WBEN, hello.
Hi. Yes, I do believe in God. And one of the reasons I do is I'm used to being in a lot of pain that I do, unfortunately, have to take opioids for. But there have been some times when, like, I had to have two surgeries this summer that no matter the amount of pain meds I took or was allowed to take, I was still in a lot of pain. And I would just lay there in my recliner and I would play, please, God, please do something just to take this pain away. And I will say truthfully, I feel that he answered me, because within about 10, 15 minutes after praying, it was just about gone. So,
But I am forced to ask you, if that is the case, why continue to get the prescriptions filled for the opioids? And if that's the case that you still do, why don't you just sell them to me?
No.
Wait, that came out totally wrong.
I know. Well, unfortunately, because we do have to sign a paper saying that we will not sell our pain meds to anybody. It's considered a felony. I could get arrested for it if they ever found out, and I would no longer be one of their patients. I am one of the original patients.
I was being facetious. Yeah, I wasn't being serious.
Well, I am one of the original patients from Dr. Goldstein. So.
The very unfairly maligned Dr. Gosi.
Oh yeah.
Is out of prison. They needed a poster child, and they came up with Dr. Gosi. And yes, he pleaded guilty, which is the same as being convicted. But I always thought that Dr. Gosi got screwed by the government.
I do too. They needed somebody to go after. And because I do know, and I can't say it over the radio, obviously, you know that, but I do know how it all came about, the original reason of how they caught him. So, you know.
Well, I mean, the line that always got me about Dr. Gosi was, he prescribes more opioids than anybody in New York State. Well, he had a pain management practice. No other doctor would write scripts, so they all sent their pain patients to Dr. Gosi. So naturally, he wrote more prescriptions than anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
And he got Gene Gosi. Look, Gene Gosi is a poster child to me of why I'm really not a big fan of DEA or the United States government or any of its drug enforcement policies.
Exactly. I was going to say, once we go off the air, if somebody wants to take my phone number.
No,
and
we're
you
not
can
doing
call
that.
Me.
No, we're not doing that.
Okay, no, that's fine.
Sorry.
That's fine. No, not a problem. No.
Puts us
so anyway,
in a
we'll get back. Okay, we'll get back to what we were talking about as far as with God. But, yeah, I do believe there is one. And as far as me trying to get off the pain meds, yeah, I tried. And withdrawal is horrific. And it did not. I mean, yes, God did help somewhat, but not totally. And, no, I was still in, you know, a lot of pain. I unfortunately had to have two surgeries this past summer. And, yeah, so I still had to take them. But, yeah, I do believe in God. I was, you know, raised from a small kid to be Catholic. I was baptized as a Catholic, you know, the first communion, all that stuff. But I am not a churchgoer right now.
What happened?
I pray. Too many things with the, you know, with the priests and everything. So, but, you know, I mean, I do pray in the morning and I pray at night and I feel he does hear me. And that's all I can do. But I do believe there is a God.
Now, let me just ask you a question. When you pray,
sure.
Other than for relief of pain, do you pray for anything else? Because, I mean, seriously, before Scott Norwood lined up to kick what would have been the Super Bowl, game-winning Super Bowl kick, I mean, you had people praying that he hit it and people praying that he missed it. And apparently, somebody got the right side of that bargain, and I know Buffalo
you
did
got
not.
It. Yeah, I do. I pray for the people who live in Ukraine. They didn't ask to go to war. I mean, I pray for them, you know, that the war stops there. And the people in Israel, those poor people. And I think of all those poor kids, you know, and for the kids who have cancer. And you have to think to yourself, why are kids getting cancer? And people say, well, why is God letting it happen? It's not that he's letting it happen. There's a reason behind it. I think a lot of it has to do with certain foods that people eat. You know, just the whole environment thing. So, you know, but yeah, I do pray for different things. I do.
How often, other than the pain relief, how often do you think your prayers are answered?
I would say maybe half of the time.
What I find interesting about you is, I mean, many things, but the, I'm not being sarcastic, but the idea that you were born and reared as a Roman Catholic, but yet you don't go to Mass anymore.
Right. And like I said, because there was a lot of things going on in the church that I feel the church knew about, but they kept covering it up by sending a priest to another school or another parish where the same thing happened, and then they just send him on to another one. So they did a lot of cover-ups, and I feel as though the Catholic Church really screwed over a lot of people. You know, it's just fortunate now that they have at least come to a settlement. You know, for some of these people, granted, it's not going to take away the suffering and pain that they had to go through, you know, but at least, you know, if they're giving them some money, and they are the richest people in the world, the Catholic Church. They have more money, and Christ walked around in sandals and just a white cloth robe. He didn't have all these ruby rings and gold crosses and, you know what I'm talking about. You know, where they have a resort somewhere, you know, they even though they're in the church, but they have an off-site resort that they go to. Yeah, these priests are well off with as far as money. They really are.
A very interesting take. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Not the first person I've talked to, by the way, or that we've heard on the show, who was born and reared as Roman Catholic, but then basically the church turn them off because of various activities, as she elaborated upon. Al, you're on WBEN. Go right ahead.
Well, Tom, I'm glad I got an opportunity to thank you because a couple of years ago, you challenged people like me who are pro-life, and you said, are you going to get the COVID shot in light of the fact that, you know, it was There was research done on humanized mice that used tissue from aborted fetuses. And all of us were scared to death back then. We didn't, all of us wanted to get the vaccine. And your challenging me caused me to pray. The Lord would not let me go. And what happened was my faith grew and I said, Lord, you know, you're just going to have to either it's my time to go or you're going to have to find another solution. And lo and behold, the wife and I didn't get the COVID shot. And lo and behold, what happened? Ivermectin came around the corner and it worked like a charm. So I wanted to thank you for challenging me as a pro-life, born-again Christian to live by my faith. Thank you, Tom.
Well, I will tell you this much. I regret getting the COVID vaccine. Now, I have to confess, and I've talked about this before, that I don't react well to any vaccine. Okay, I have bad reactions to each and every vaccine I've ever received. But the COVID vaccine caused in me a swelling of my legs that I needed intervention to prevent. And as I sit here doing this radio show, I'm wearing compression stockings, which I never had to wear before that damn shot. And I will tell you, honestly, and it has nothing to do with aborted fetuses, if I had it to do all over again, I would not have gotten the vaccine. And I did. First of all, it's not really a vaccine. It's a reducer. It's not a preventer. And, you know, the funny thing is that a lot of the doctors with whom I've spoken, they've stopped asking me, are you going to take any boosters? Because I basically, you know the words that I would use if I wasn't on the air. I basically tell them to do that to themselves with a smile, of course. And I don't even get the flu shot anymore. I'm not an anti-vaxxer for everybody, but I do know that I had a bad reaction to the COVID vaccine. I did file a VAERS report, and in retrospect, and I'm only speaking for myself, okay? I can't speak for anybody else. In retrospect, I wish I had never gotten it. It caused me more problems that continue today than I could possibly number. And I can't even tell you that it gave me AFib because my heart is so messed up anyway that does he have AFib? Or what is it? It doesn't really matter. All right, 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. Do you believe in God? And if so, which God? I do want to spend a lot more time talking about this. I realize I kind of brought out the topic a little bit late on the show. That's my bad. I would like to revisit the God thing. And, you know, the other topic that I want to do this week is how many times have you had COVID? Because over the holidays, again, talking with a lot of people, I was amazed at the number of people who said, well, I've had COVID three times. Thinking to myself, three times? I've had COVID once. And honestly, it wasn't a big deal. Now, whether it wasn't a big deal because of the vaccine or because I got one of the lesser strains of COVID, nobody will ever be able to answer that. But I will tell you that there is zero chance that I will ever get a COVID booster shot. Somebody to whom I'm very close got every single booster shot that they wanted to jab her with and still ended up in quarantine in a hospital for 10 days with COVID. So it's not really a vaccine according to the standard definition of a vaccine. Maybe some of you, and again, I would not call myself an anti-vaxxer, but as I have explained to you on the air, name a vaccine that I've had, and I will tell you that I've had a bad reaction to every vaccine from tetanus shots to rabies shots that you could possibly put in. So I am not a good test sample. I will tell you, and I've told you this before, and we'll do a show on this during the week here because I'm fascinated by this. But as I've told you before, I'm a big believer in science and wanting things proven to me. And if even after a very major heart attack, I had zero swelling of my legs, and the only thing that changed was I got jabbed twice, and suddenly my legs became unmanageable. Well, scientifically, the only variable that changed was getting the jab. And I ended up with legs that I couldn't even get into my jeans. True story. And shoes I couldn't put on my feet. Now, am I an exception to the rule? I could be, because my body's kind of freakish when it comes to vaccines. But anyway, we'll manage to work both of these topics in, unless something intervenes in the meantime, on News Radio 930 WBEN. It is 5:56. Thanks to everybody for all the calls today. Appreciate that. And stand by, because coming up, it's Tom Puckett with Buffalo's Evening News. I do want to thank Tanner Saunders for unbelievably productive work today, including playing the bird song 5D on two separate occasions, which was kind of cool, quite frankly. So enjoy yourself and stand by for Tom Puckett and Buffalo's Evening News on News Radio 930 WBEN.